Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, as usual, for a very compelling episode of Summer House, it's the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Great. Hi, Ben.
Are you so excited that the Crappies are next week? Because I'm very excited. I'm also excited that before that even happens, we're going to Miami tomorrow for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. That's going to be so much fun. We are going to be taking the stage this Saturday at 2:15 p.m. and we're going to be doing a special live crappy hour from Miami, from the middle of a food festival. It'll be great. And coming on the stage right before us is going to be Carla Hall and Clinton Kelly. Very exciting. So it's going to be a blast. So come join us there. But the crappies are next week. They're pretty much sold out. I think there's like literally they've maybe excavated 3 tickets or 4 or 5, but we have it live streaming on Kizwi. So you can watch from the comfort of your own home, anywhere in the entire world. Dare I say universe, go to watchwhatcrappens.com or our social media to find links for that. Also, something that we're really excited to tell you about is that if you're coming to the live show and you are a Patreon member, Patreon is throwing a fun little party, a pre-party before the show begins. There's going to be specialty cocktails. There's going to be all sorts of cool stuff. It's going to be at the Fonda. It's going to be on the roof of the Fonda. We're going to send out details and all that stuff on Patreon, but just a little sort of heads up to keep an eye out for those details, because if you are on Patreon, you are going to get access to this really cool thing. And they're doing some really fun stuff. It's cool. I wish I could go. So that's going to be happening. Also on Patreon, as long as we're mentioning it, bonus episodes, traders, we've got another recap coming up this week. And also ad free, the free newsletter. Doesn't matter if you're even a Patreon subscriber, you can still access the newsletter. And of course, Crappens on Demand. So I think that's all the really cool, fun stuff, Ronnie, right? Did I miss anything?
All the news is fit to print.
Woo!
Yeah, sounds good to me. Whenever it's your turn to do all that stuff, I just kind of scroll through my phone. But
that's fine.
You did great. It sounded great.
Thank you.
Energetic.
Thank you.
Great read.
Thank you. I felt energetic. And if I did anything wrong, just pull me to the side to Apology Dune and we can talk it out.
Apology Dune, where the only apology is, wake up, you alcoholic, Amanda. Oh, gosh.
Apology Dune. Yeah. I loved this episode of Summer House. I was really into it. To me, it had the perfect blend of riveting real life personal drama. This is a couple that is falling apart and we're watching it and watching them not be able to communicate. Mainly Kyle not be able to communicate.
Yeah.
Is fascinating.
Yeah, I was going to say, Amanda's communicating pretty well. It's like, what do you need from me? Stop drinking and going out.
I just don't understand what you need. What is it?
And then, but also like I, when Summer House is kind of like firing on all cylinders, when they have like a good cast, you know, you really feel it because all the cutaways are funny. All their little jokes are funny. I find that like I have a parasocial thing where I feel like I'm in the house and they crack a joke amongst each other and I giggle along as if I was like sitting there with them. Like, oh my God, guys, you're so funny. So I was really in it. I was really feeling the Summer House vibes today.
I never feel like I'm part of that house because it's a house where people take off their shirts. And that would never happen. So to me, that's like, I would never be there. It's like another world to me. It's a whole group of people who's just very comfortable, like being shirtless at all times. So yeah. I don't really understand them. It's like a zoo to me. It's like watching a zoo, but I still really like it.
I would never fit in. I feel like I wouldn't be gay enough for the girls to want to pal with me, and I wouldn't be bro enough for the guys to want to bro out with me. So I would just be sort of in the middle there, sort of hunched over the counter, offering to make people, you know, chicken or something. That'd be Carl. I walk like Carl. Carl and I have the same gait. Yeah, I love it. So let's start up. Last week we had a cliffhanger, which is that Kyle stormed off from the table and a chair fell over. And now we're still there. The chair is still on the ground. Everyone is still eating. And he's now stormed off to the front door.
And for those of you who don't remember, it's because Kyle tried to give a public apology to the dinner table after every scene this year has been him and Amanda fighting and ruining kind of everybody's weekend. He decided to kind of ruin a dinner by giving an apology. I mean, it's not ruining it to give it an apology, but, you know, like it's making another dinner about himself, you know. So then he storms out, making it about himself again. And, you know, I really like Kyle, but he's a damn mess.
He is a mess. And the thing is this, the reason why he stormed out was because Amanda was just like looking at him with a smile like, oh, of course you're going to do this whole big thing. And then Sierra's laughing. And, you know, Kyle really does throw a temper tantrum when he's trying to have a sincere moment and people giggle, literally have a giggly squad moment. And the truth is that like you did wrong. And so you just have to take it on the chin. So if you're apologizing, but you can't deal with the shit that people give you, then was your apology even sincere? Because I think if you're really apologetic, you're saying, yeah, I get it. I deserve that. I was a dick. You deserve to laugh in my face. Like, I feel like you really, you're supposed to fall on your sword. Like an apology, that's what it is. And the fact that he's not like that, he's like, wait, you're ruining my big moment. It really highlights the fact that was this sincere or was this just a big moment you're trying to have for the cameras and you're ruining your and they're ruining his delivery of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was rude for them to laugh and stuff and mock him during his you know, his speech or whatever, but I mean, yeah, have a better attitude. Also, you were in trouble because you were drunk and went too far, and now you're drunkenly trying to give a speech and then drunkenly storming off. So
yeah,
you know, point, you know, your point is definitely taken. So the rest of the group just keeps eating because they're used to Kyle. So they're like, spaghetti, delicious. Also, I love when young people cook. They're like, I cooked. You made spaghetti.
I know. It's like, that's what we would do.
Dad meal, you know?
That's like fraternity. Like when I was in my frat, it's like, guys, we're going to make dinner tonight. And it was either a giant pot of boiled hot dogs or it was just like generic spaghetti and ragu.
Yeah. Like that's definitely it. Dad's weekend for sure. So yeah. Now they just keep eating and Jesse's like, well, we're off to a hot start, huh? And Carl's like, yeah, that lasted about 2 minutes.
Oh, that's hilarious. So Amanda's like, he just doesn't need to address the whole table. Like, and Jesse's like, yeah, I mean, he said so many worse things with way less apologies.
Also, yeah, he could have apologized to me instead of the whole table. I mean, the problem was with me. Why is he apologizing to the whole table? Where's my apology?
So Mia's like, Mia whispers to Sierra, what happened? Mia's like, what the fuck is going on? I was looking at Sierra like, bitch, do you do this every summer? But everyone's just like acting like it was normal. Like people just kept on eating. I'm like, why are they eating?
Which you made spaghetti. Okay. It's a lame dish, but everyone's going to eat it. I've never passed up a spaghetti.
Mia's learning very quickly that this is just what happens on a reality show. Because in normal life, it's like, whoa, someone just stormed off from the table and knocked over a chair. That's when we normally stop doing everything and be like, what's going on?
Oh, no. But everyone's just like, whatever. I was raised in that kind of household. We just keep eating.
Pass the Parmesan.
Listen, I don't get a break from doing the dishes just because someone had a fit and left the table. So I'm going to eat my food. I'm going to eat it. So Kyle is on the porch now. And now there's little chairs on the porch so he can sit there. And he's like kicking Amazon packages over because he's really, really mad. And he's like, I can't imagine just laughing at someone who's trying to address a group of friends. I mean, who does that?
I know. And Jesse's like, hey, Carl, I think this one's on you, brother. I think you got to go get him. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to go check on him. Sorry, I was just carbo loading before I have to run my 18 miles tomorrow. Oh, marathon. Oh, I'm in the mix, Sarah's guys. Like, 1 second.
Whatever. Just slam the door. Let him pout.
But he doesn't have to make it a thing. And like, here he is making it a thing. And like, geez, like you have to do it right in front of the ring cam too.
Because of course, Kyle has a fit like me. You know, I still want the attention. I'll go off to myself by myself. But man, if there is a ring cam there, I'll do it in front of the ring cam. Because I want you to have to see it later. You know, if I'm going to yell at someone in their home, I'm going to walk right outside the threshold so that I can be on the ring cam. They can always remember me telling them off.
And then ring cam will be like, we've found your missing dog. Look at our technology being used for missing dogs. It's like Kyle Cook.
It goes out to the whole neighborhood. It's like someone is having a fit in your neighborhood. And I'm like, and another thing. Some bald queen is waving his finger.
So Carl comes out. He's like, hey, yo, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. He's like, no, man, I'm fucking done, dude. I've stood up for her nonstop over the years. I can't win. I literally can't win. I can't even apologize without being fucking crucified and being laughed at. It like rubs off on Amanda. She's just given up. It's like, for once, could see her just maybe just be like a friend to both of us. She's never gone to bat for me. Neither has my wife, by the way. I'm literally all on. Okay, there's a lot to unpack on this rant because a lot of it is very self-serving and wrong. First of all, Sierra's under no obligation to go to bat for you. There was never any moment where Sierra was considered a closer friend to you than Amanda or as equal a friend. She's always been the girl's friend. So like, there's no reason why she should go to bat for you. Also because you're doing the wrong things here. And at a certain point you have to look around and be like, if everyone's telling me this thing, maybe I have to look at myself and everyone includes Sierra. So there is that. Also, the I can't even apologize without being fucking crucified. It's like, well, what have you been doing that's causing people to crucify you? Where is the accountability there? Do you ever think to yourself, wow, I must have really fucked up because people don't even want to hear my apology? Like, where is that introspection?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a really long way of saying, you know, she wants me to quit drinking and I'm not going to quit drinking. Then that's mm-hmm. it. Because that's their whole fight, is that he's out drinking. He's out getting wasted all the time and he doesn't want to hear it. He's not going to change it. He wants any other answer other than you're drunk all the time. That's it. He's not going to get that answer. And so he's not going to be happy, you know, and I get it. If I want to still go out and drink and party and someone's telling me I drink too much, they can suck my dick. It's up to me to say when I'm an alcoholic. Now, the problem is he's married and he's got a lot of rumors that he's cheating all the time and he's yeah. sleeping with people. I mean, you know, she's in the right to be pissed. So if he wants to live his life, he's going to just have to be divorced and go live his life, you know, and find some other party animal and just be that weird couple in the hot tub that's like wasting on vacation trying to fuck another couple, you know, like the SNL couple. He's like, hello,
my lover.
Lover. Hello, lover. But just be that, you know, you're just not built for the rest of this.
Well, the thing is, what's interesting too about this monologue is that he's kind of implying that if it weren't for the rest of the house and if it weren't for Sierra, and then maybe there's even a deeper implication that Sierra is almost a ringleader of this, that he and Amanda would be fine. Because he's saying that like they're laughing at me and now it's rubbing off on Amanda and this is how she's acting and da 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 da. It's like, no, like you can't blame the house for this situation. You can't blame Sierra for affecting Amanda. It's like he's sort of trying to whip up narratives and it's like really sad.
Well, yeah, because his problem for the past few years, and that's, you know, same thing where Giggly Squad came from, which you mentioned earlier, is that the girls openly laugh at him and mock him because he acts like such a baby. And Amanda's usually trying to stick up for him and be like, guys, don't make fun of Kyle, you know, and now she's not. She's just openly laughing with them. And so
yeah,
he's like, what the hell? They're getting to Amanda. It's like, no, I mean, Amanda's just not sticking up for you like she used to. But the reason that people are laughing at you is the same they always have, because you get drunk and act like a toddler.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Do you think that Amanda and Hannah are going to become friends again once this divorce or separation or whatever it is? I guess they're only separated, so they could get back together, Amanda and Kyle. But if it does wind up in divorce, do you think Amanda and Hannah will be friends again? This is, I know, the least pressing question of 2026, but it is a question that arrived in my head. I was going
to say, I'm trying to like not answer I don't care as much anymore, because that's rude. Like, who wants to hear that? Do you think this? And then you're just like, I don't care. But like, honestly, I don't.
Do you guys think that Amanda's going to go to Jamba Juice more now that she's separated from Kyle? Do you guys think that she's going to try to like reinvent the Radio Shack brand? Just other questions about it. What Amanda might do now. So, Jesse.
So many things I don't care about. You know, like how many calories are in matcha? Like, I don't care. I'm drinking that green weird shit. Who cares?
So Jesse says, by the way, guys, he gave a really nice apology earlier to the boys. I thought it was really nice. And then we see a flashback to Kyle holding court with the men and being like, I'm all drunk, you guys. I got really too drunk and I said things I regret. This is a great group of us. So they do like the men do like a group hug. And so he went out of his way to have a moment with the guys. So it's also kind of funny that he felt he needed to do another public one since he already sort of had a public apology.
Because he's being the victim. He knows he's wrong and he's going to everybody to be a victim. That's what people who are wrong do. You know? It's like we just saw it on Below Deck last night. Ben on Below Deck. It's like you're talking down to someone and being an asshole, even though she, you know, granted, she wasn't great either. But you're being an asshole. You're called out for being an asshole. So what do? You start sobbing and talking about how you're the victim because you got dumped once. Like, that's just typical. So Kyle's doing that. He's going to all the guys. He's going to everybody but his wife, notice. He's going to the guys. So the guys will be like, oh, Kyle, you didn't do anything wrong. Your wife's a bitch. You know, which is what he wanted from that, which he didn't really get. So I was kind of proud of the guys. They're just like, you want a hug or something? Like, why are you crying? Gross. But yeah, that's what he does. So then Amanda is back at the table asking my question. Where's my nice apology? You went to everybody else but me. So now we go back to Carl and Kyle. And Kyle's like, I just wanted to get it like at the top of dinner so we could have fun at the house. And it's not every day you get spaghetti.
Oh, well, I think we could still accomplish that. For instance, if everyone would be interested in running for 17 miles tomorrow, I think that would be very fun from the house. Oh, but look, bro, oh, I know you're upset. Oh, I get it. I saw the smiling and laughing. I thought it was weird, too. But I think there's like a way to like, I don't know, like not give a fuck about that. Like, I don't know. Like, can I just like give you some pretty pat advice that we'll come back to the table? Like, what's it going to take, bro? Oh.
As now we know, I bet they put these chairs out here. Whoever owns this house must have a really mean wife. Who's having to sit out here and talk to the packages?
Hey, I'm going to say something to you that I've seen said to many cats hanging from a branch. Hang in there. Hang in there.
Yeah, well, you hang in there. I just had to order Amazon in 1 hour so I'd have someone to complain to. I can't wait till he gets here. I'm going to apologize.
So then Carl comes back to the table and Sierra's like, how pissed is he?
Whoa, he feels like you're totally like, fuck you, Kyle energy. And he doesn't really know exactly like where that's coming from a little bit. But I just think that he's like incredibly sensitive at the moment. Some might even say he's feeling a little soft.
Wes is like, oh, come on. He's okay. He's fine.
No. I mean, I don't think this is the same as it usually is. He's like, yeah. He's fine.
And Jesse's like, yeah, Wes has seen worse. Trust me. Wes has seen worse from Sierra than Kyle ever has.
That's true. But also, I wonder if there's going to be like a generation divide that's going to start to rip open where Kyle is like the cranky old man of the group. And the rest of them are just like the young whippersnappers who like to dress like preppy Harry Potter every now and then. So now Kyle is huffing and puffing around the room. And
I mean, there already is that, isn't there?
But they also get along.
Like, oh, you're DJing. Oh, okay, right. Grandpa, but I feel like, you know, don't forget your diaper. Yeah.
But I feel like it's going to start to get bigger and bigger, you know? Yeah. So back at the table, Levi is like, you know, it's hard for me to go back to normal conversations right now. I'm not going to lie. This is cray cray. Carl's
oh,
like,
yeah. Let's go back to a normal conversation. Whose pants do you think are the whitest in this house? Say whoever you want. Tight. No pressure.
How tight is too tight?
So,
what do you think of brick and mortar? Go ahead.
If you could run a marathon or if you could run 30 miles, which would you do? Because guess what? 30 miles is actually longer. Yeah.
She's like, Ben, definitely Ben. Of course, it's Ben. And Ben's like, oh, God. Ben's, you know,
I'm uncomfortable blushing. Being flirted with. I was raised with religion, so therefore I'm uncomfortable being incredibly hot.
And he's like, I'm sweating. I don't know what to do. Because Mia says, yeah, Ben's the only right answer. Sorry, everybody else at the table. But Ben is clearly hotter than everybody at this table. Ben does seem kind of out of place at this table. I mean, he's hot, but he doesn't really say anything. What do you think Ben's thing is? Do you think they just brought Ben on to kind of make Kyle mad and possibly cheat with Amanda and then run away with Amanda and then have a storyline on the city where he's with Amanda?
Yes, I think you summed that up very nicely. I think that's it. He's hot.
Was I leading the witness?
He's hot and they're going to just see what might shake. And maybe they probably heard or they probably saw stories of him like frolicking with Kyle and Amanda. We're like, ooh, tell us more about this guy. That's what I have to imagine. But for right now, he doesn't have a huge amount of personality. He's just attractive. So Amanda's like,
that's enough.
Me and Sierra. And that's enough. Diana.
Who needs books?
You know what? It's enough. Amanda's like, man and Sierra, thank you so much for dinner. And Amanda, thank you for the entertainment. I mean, and you guys are welcome for the entertainment. I brought the dramatics. So now they're done with dinner and they're bringing stuff. They bring stuff inside. And Kyle, it's weird because Kyle had this whole storm out, but he never had a moment. I thought he was going to have a moment where he'd come back to the table and be like, hey, guys, sorry about that. I just had to process. I'm just like really going through a hard time. But instead, he just goes, transitions into being a DJ. And they pull out all these life-size cutouts and they make Club Send It into like a cutout space. It
looks like a Blockbuster.
It does.
You know, like with life-size cutouts of everybody. It's like, oh my God, it's The Rock listening to me DJ. Yeah, wow, I think Kyle avoided going back to the table because it was only carbs. Yeah. And we know how Kyle feels about carbs, unless it's 3 a.m. and he's shit-faced. Then he loves them. But any other time, he's like, you're going to ask me to sit down and have spaghetti? No, I'm having a temper tantrum.
So Wes is like, whoa, it's really cool in here. And Kyle's like, yeah, I got these cutouts in here because this way our club always has people in it. I mean, aside from Danielle over here, like cut to Danielle at the window and be like, hey, guys, send it. Looking for the D. Woo. So Sierra's looking at Wes and she goes, are those my sunglasses? Are you wearing my sunglasses? Take my sunglasses off your sweaty fucking forehead. She like rips them off his face.
And like, I don't know if anybody else got chills, but it was a moment that will haunt West forever, which we find out later. West was really bothered by that. I didn't even clock that as being something horrible, but West is like, dun, 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 and like really seeped in. So Kyle gets on the mic. He's like, all right, I need you guys to move your bodies. So they do. Everybody dances. And then we go to Ben, Amanda, Sierra, Bailey in the kitchen, and Bailey's asking Ben if he needs help cleaning. And he's like, oh, sure, loading the dishwasher, sure, come on. Oh, wait a minute, not in that dress, young lady. You look way too nice to help with dishes, please. Let me, the gentleman.
Let me do that for you. And Sierra just turns to Amanda and goes, somebody fuck him. Somebody please, he's too hot. Do it, someone's got to do it.
Yeah, well, somebody better. Bailey, she's like, somebody better fuck that guy.
Sierra says, well, one of the four of us. I mean, there's four of us here. Someone's got to do it. They're like, all four. What? All four of us should do it. I mean, even if I was married, I'd be like, you have to understand.
He needs to be fucked. Okay. He would eat the sweet green. So Carl and KJ make an agreement that they're going to go running in the morning, and they seal it with a fist bump because why not have an insufferable moment? And then everyone goes to the kitchen and Wes starts talking to Amanda and he's like, hey, I was thinking that the nights are like, they're going really good. And then Sierra will just like, she'll just like sneak in one of those like really fucking, those things that just like really fucking hurts my feelings. Like the sunglasses on my sweaty forehead.
Yeah. Aww. Flashback to get my sunglasses off your sweaty fucking forehead. He's like, oh, I just don't know if we're friends or like if we're flirting or if like, she hates me. I don't fucking know. Like, she could be joking and I could just like, I don't know, maybe I'm being a wiener, or she could mean it. I'll never know because like we don't talk about anything. So I just have to like feel the vibe out and I'll never know. Oh God. West with his innocent little, I'm just a little boy. And he's, like you pointed out, his Harry Potter suit that he's got, he's wearing on like, now, a, his little tie.
Like a prep school, like pinstripe shirt with like a very prep school tie and these glasses. It's like a very effective modern preppy look. I know modern preppy is in, but this is taking it too far.
Yeah. And I'm not buying it. I don't think he's hateable. I don't think West is hateable. And he's really kind of overcompensating for it last year. Last year, you did a stupid thing. You got called out for it. I know it hurt your feelings all year, but like you're making Sierra sound like a terrorist. It's like, I don't know. Can we negotiate? Oh, I'm just a nice little boy. Not buying it. So Amanda tells him, you're still on probation. And now it's time to get a car to go
to Common Ground. Oh, favorite new place, Common Ground.
Hey guys, let me get a car. I'll be the one to do it because I'm downstairs and I'm in the mix. I'm in the mix, everyone. I'm going to get a car.
Thank God I wasn't upstairs because I might not have heard that they're getting a car to go to Common Ground. Common Ground.
Well, so I can get an Uber Black, an Uber XL, Uber X, or Uber in the mix. That's the one I'm going to select. We're taking that one. Oh.
It's $1 more, but it's worth it.
Sierra and Jesse are in bed talking and he's like, I want you to know I just held in a fart for you. It's like, thanks.
She's like, am I supposed to say thank you? He goes, yeah, because now I've got a tummy ache. So the answer, one of the answers to what would Jesse Salomon do? The answer is hold in a fart. So then we go to West and Kyle, and they're like joking around with Lindsay's cutout and everything. And then Kyle's making it look like
giving Carl a hand job.
Yeah. And then Bailey asks Ben if he's going to go out, and he's like, probably. And you know, I'll see where the wind may take us. Oh my God, don't look at me. I'm so embarrassed to be hot and talking about wind.
Oh my God. He just said he's going to wait to see where the wind takes us. He's a fucking poet.
He is just so deep. So then
my bra just unsnapped itself.
Hey, Mia, thanks so much for the cooking. It was really delicious. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you making this food fresh instead of using a mix. Oh, that's where I am. I'm in it.
Hey, man, are you going to come out of this to common ground? It's like, no, Kyle, I'm going to bed.
By yourself?
Yeah, I go to bed by myself every night, Kyle. I don't have a husband who's ever home. He's like,
oh, okay, sorry. I mean to speak about us. I mean, okay, look, fine. I didn't mean to speak about us. I didn't mean to get drunk. And I'm sorry for talking about our sex life. I'm sorry for talking about the cleanliness of our apartment. I'm sorry for talking about you behind your back. Okay, there. There's your apology.
Thank you. But all of a sudden, I mean, I tried to talk to you about it multiple times last week. No, you didn't, Kyle. You're such a liar. You didn't try to talk to me at all. Why? What you do is you complain and you pout.
So you're not like welled off?
No.
You're not like high, tired, and every excuse?
She's like, Kyle, I don't smoke until the dogs go out for their last walk at night after 10 p.m. And you have all day to talk to me. Do not blame me for getting high after 10:30 p.m.
That's like first thing in the morning. What the hell? So let's have conversations then.
So then he's
like, work in the day, you know, they're tired and they still talk. It's like, Kyle, oh my God, the earliest I ever get high is 10:30, Kyle.
Okay, listen, if you're in a marriage where you have to like justify when you're smoking your dupe, it's time to go. You should never also have to justify that. Just go.
And also his response, adults work during the day, is first of all, so fucking condescending. But also when he's like, oh, but they're tired afterwards. So then why is it that like, if he only wants to talk to her after 10:30, isn't that after 10:30 when a lot of also adults feel very tired? I don't understand what the issue is here. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Like you can have a conversation at 8 o'clock, and the fact they're even splitting hairs over, you know, 8 o'clock versus 10:30 is ridiculous. If there's something that's a real issue, you carve out the time no matter what, or you stay in for one night and have this conversation.
They have this conversation so many times and it just never goes anywhere because he's not going to change it. It's the same thing. And I feel like we have the same conversation over and over because they have the same conversation over and over. And now we're forced to do it. And now I'm like, are we getting divorced? Like, what is even happening?
Common ground. Guys, remember to find some common ground.
But Kyle's like, oh, man, I see you. I'm just trying to apologize to you and you fucking make it into a fight.
Okay, Kyle. The fight is you go out and get wasted too much and don't pay attention to your wife, okay? And don't talk to her about things. So now what are you doing? You're going out wasted with your friends and not being with your wife to talk.
Right. That's what's
so crazy.
What are
you not understanding, Kyle? It's very on the nose.
It's crazy. I was watching this on YouTube TV and this entire part of the conversation was cut off for some reason. So I'm really glad that we're able to get to the bottom of it for me, so I can understand how the scene ended. David. So now they all go out to Common Ground Hall, and they're partying and having fun times. And then Mia's boyfriend, Scott, calls her, and they're FaceTiming. And she says that Scott's her boyfriend. They met through mutual friends. He owns a restaurant in New York and L.A. and now in Miami. And he's the hardest working man that she knows. She loves that about him. It makes him insane. And then they're like, but does he travel a lot? And she's like, oh, my God, don't get him in trouble. Don't make me call him and get into a fight with him. Don't strike a chord right now. OK, I'm like, you better be quiet, because otherwise the producers are going to sense blood in the water and they're going to destroy your relationship right now. They're going to force you to bring him onto the show and he's not going to want to. He's going to have to make work sacrifices and it's going to cause a strain. We've been down this path before. Be careful, Mia. Be careful.
I'm getting Danielle vibes only because she dated that chef.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She's like, but he's never home. Yeah, so I worry. But they do seem like a good couple and we can tell when they're talking because he's like, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. What are you doing? He's like, nothing. I'm going to watch Netflix. And she's like, don't you watch our show without me? That's a good couple right there.
Oh, 100%. And he's like, no, I'm going to watch Mission Impossible. And she was like, good. I don't want to fucking watch that. I literally don't even care about Mission Impossible. You watch that.
Yeah, they'll be together forever. So then that's we go to Sierra knocking on Amanda's door and checking on her. And she's like, man, moments like this is like, I just don't forget about it. Like, I act like I do. But I'm just like, well, it makes me nervous. Like, how are you going to treat our children?
And that's a really good point. Sierra says, well, like, if they don't see it from your point of view, are you just going to like storm out of the room? Yeah. And like slam your hand on the dinner table. And she's saying, you know, I'm not saying, Sierra says, I'm not saying Kyle's a bad guy, but you do deserve better. And Amanda's like, yeah, you're right. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if I'd be good enough for someone else. And Sierra's like, what, Amanda, why do you think that? And she's like, I don't know. So Sierra starts crying. I feel like Sierra is such a good girlfriend. She did this to Paige last year also when Paige was talking about her issues and Sierra started to cry on her behalf. I think she's so empathetic to her friends and I think that's wonderful. And she's saying, you know, you're so special and you're so kind and you're, you know, you love so fiercely and you are so loyal. And then they hug.
I think Kyle's going to love having kids because he's not going to be the only one in the house with a bottle in his hand constantly. He's going to be like, see, it's okay for them. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I can totally see Kyle being a suburban dad. I can see him being the one who has like a baby strapped to his front and his back at the same time. And he's doing all the things. He's got the grill and he's doing all the suburban dad stuff. But I can also see Kyle being one of those guys who gets competitive with his children in terms of like, you know, there's an issue where when a baby comes along, the husband's feel very jealous about the attention. And I can imagine Kyle being like, why is it okay if the baby poops his diapers? But if I like, oh, I make a spill, suddenly I'm a bad guy. Like I can imagine him having those arguments over and over again.
The baby's allowed to be in the pool, but I'm not. Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be jealousy. I guess it's jealousy. I don't know. But whatever it is, I can imagine Kyle having like false equations with the babies all the time.
Like, I think the babies are going to be jealous of Kyle. They're going to be like in kindergarten. They're going to be like, why do I look older than my father? How does he not age?
That's true. Kyle, the ageless beauty.
The kids are going to be asking for some of his stem cells.
Yeah.
So Sierra wants to save Amanda from this, but Amanda can only save herself. Okay. And now everybody and comes home.
Ramona's like, whoa, I was next door because I live in the Hamptons, also part of the year. And I heard you crying. And I just want you to say, you're worth more than you're giving yourself credit for. Okay. Why?
Listen, I'm coming here to tell you. And listen, this was hard for me to get over here. Okay. Because let's face it. I live on the other side of the freeway. Okay. I live on a nicer side of town than you. That's it. But I came to the slums to tell you, you deserve better. Ageless by Ramona.
I'm ageless and this wisdom is ageless. Okay. So Sierra's just like, if you ever need to talk, just like, let me know. And Sierra says, if I could shake Amanda and get her to step out of her body and look at herself from my point of view and everyone else's point of view, I feel like we could find her, yeah, a new husband in a year. I was like, damn, that's harsh. Might be true.
That's also pretty confident for someone who dates in New York, like to be like, oh, yeah, you can just find another husband in a year. Because I feel like this whole show's about how it's so hard dating in New York.
Yeah. But you know what? Amanda's a catch. And I think she could probably find someone pretty easily. She is a catch,
yeah. Well, and your whole life shouldn't be predicated on that anyway. But obviously Amanda's a catch.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they all come home. Everybody goes to the pool and they're making noise. And Amanda's like, And then the next morning, Carl and KJ are going for their run. Guess where we're going to find some common ground together. Really love that place. Love that place.
Race you to common ground.
So Carl goes up to Amanda and she's in bed and he's like, hey, Amanda, I'm going to go for a run. Okay, I'll be back. She's like, okay. That's it. I mean, I assume you'll be coming back, right? He's like, yeah, God, can't even get love from my wife when I'm about to leave for a run. Just go.
Yeah, just go. So then Bailey and Levi are in bed and Bailey's like, what are your thoughts on the last night's dinner? And Levi's like, dude, this is clearly complicated. I don't know if this is me speaking or the concussion from the goat hoof that I have, But this is me last night. Left, right, left, right. You know, she starts doing like a tennis match face. And Bailey's like, I just don't feel like it's all that confusing. I was in a relationship where I was always screaming in the front yard and we were always storming away from meals. And so I've been there. But I feel like they're both like, oh, it's a big fuck you every single time. And I'm just like, well, this isn't productive at all. And unless you have a sweet green, there's no point of even fighting.
I like that the sweet green wasn't a one-time thing because she says they were always leaving restaurants fighting. Don't sometimes fight during your meals.
I mean, really putting a new definition on fast casual, right? They were like, how many Panera breads and sweet greens and cavas did they make a total scene out of?
Exactly. Can one salad place be peaceful?
I know.
Well, I do see myself in Amanda, and it's very challenging to watch. I can't even deal with that again. Like, I mean, that kind of passion. Look at it. Look at that passion. I need sweet in a relationship. I need green in a relationship. Ben could be that person. Could be. Maybe. Possibly.
No. Ben's not that person.
I hear you talking about me. I'm so modest. So then Carl and KJ, we're around to common ground. And then we're back. We're back, everyone. We're back. And Ben, Amanda, and Carl are in the kitchen. And Carl's like, so... my cardboard cutout kind of freaks me out a little bit. It's like a little scary. I'm a little scared. I wish someone could hug me. Harder, harder, hug me. And Amanda's like,
I did a double take when I saw Lindsay. I was like, oh my God, is that her? I head under the couch. I started calling Lil. I was like, I'm sorry, it's been a long time, but please, please hug me. Hug me, Lil. Hug me. Is your mom
just
available?
Making a sandwich out of instant. So Amanda's like, well, I kind of want to put one outside of West's door. Imagine waking up to this. So then she takes the cutout of Ben, and she actually winds up putting it outside of what's-her-face's, Bailey's door. So then Jesse and Sierra are in her room, and Sierra's like, hey, you want to help me pick out my outfit? Okay, I've got a blue number, and then there's this one, or there's this skirt. Are you holding in another fart? Maybe. But like, hey, is that top going to cover those boobs? She's like, don't worry about that. I've got that under control. He's like, yeah, because I'm pretty partial towards the bright colors. Yeah, I also like the size of the top with being so small and a potential nip slip.
So then Amanda puts the cutout of Ben outside the door, and Bailey and Levi are coming out of their room and like, oh my God. Bailey's like, oh my God, I almost peed. I love him. He's the one. Get him.
They do bring the cutout inside. She's like, well, this is as close as I'll probably get, so it'll have to do.
Now we go back to Sierra and Jesse, and Mia's with them now. And Sierra's like, did you meet anyone at Common Ground? Just keep saying Common Ground. Jesse's like, oh, I met with a girl I've been talking to. But, you know, I just don't like, I need more. I need more there. You need a spark. I need a spark. So Mia asks him what his type is. And he's like, historically, you know, I need nice, normal girlies. I'm open to a relationship. I'm just trying not to look for it, you know. But I've been single for a while. And so she asks how long, and Sierra's like, oh my God, like a year, please. And he's like, no, come on. I mean, I was with Lexi for 8 weeks. That wasn't a real relationship. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Lexi get and her mother and her sister at home right now are like, how dare he? They're like putting on like a ton of lip liner. Like,
I know. I love that they keep on showing that clip of him when on the first weekend, like 2 days after he met her, he goes, I love her. I mean, I think, I love her. So Sierra's like,
I literally
like,
love her. Like, I really? Her. Don't you think it's a little soon? He's like, she's nice. She's pretty. And like, I literally love her.
So it's just such a funny thing. So Sierra's like, okay, I'm just making that you know that you've only been single for a year. He's like, yeah, but my last girlfriend was in 2019. So she said, you know what I think would be actually good for you? Try dating someone the complete opposite of what you think your type is. Try dating someone who's a little more fiery. Someone who's going to talk back and have an opinion. A very strong opinion. I'm like, Sierra, it sounds like you're kind of describing yourself. No offense.
Yeah, that's what she says. She's like, yeah, I mean, I'm basically giving characteristics of myself. He likes that I don't let him get away with anything. And he likes a girl telling him what to do. So find a girl that's like that. That's, you know. Maybe me, maybe not me, whatever. She kind of hints and winks at the audience.
She's like, all right. Am I in love with Wester Jesse? Am I, audience? Am I?
I know who I'm going to hook up with. Ben, God, he's handsome. Not my usual type, because he's a man. But you know what? Let's go for it.
Oh my God, don't talk about me. I'm so modest. No.
So it's going to be a beach day, which means Kyle is packing speaker. And Jesse's doing push-ups off the side of the car. He's like, oh, I need to get Jack for the beach. So.
And then they're taking coolers over to the sand, and then there's like frolicking, et cetera, and putting on suntan lotion. And then at one point we see Levi's like, oh my God, look at those three divas and they're matching swimsuits. And they're just like these three girls who are doing like a TikTok thing where they're like all at the sand and they're like lifting up sand and showering themselves in the sand. It was like, so stupid.
Now Amanda and Sierra are on the beach chairs, and Amanda's like, I don't like how much fun the boys are having. They're getting along. Like, what can we do to start drama between them? So Kyle and KJ.
Well, by the way, Sierra goes, they'll never fight each other, which was, I think, was a foreshadowing, because we know that Carl and Kyle have a fight later this season with blood.
And it's ugly. It's an ugly one.
We couldn't find common ground. Let's just say that.
Kyle and KJ are watching the other guys, and Kyle's like, God, I'm impressed with these guys. I mean, I just don't have energy. I mean, we already got our exercise, KJ, because we were running. Remember that? And he's like, yeah. I'm going to go pound a Celsius. It's like, whoa, what?
Wow. So are you allowed to talk about other beverages? Was Celsius also the beverage that Craig was backing?
I thought so. Or was it the one that Hannah was backing back in the day? I feel like somebody backed that and they got in trouble.
Wow. So Kyle and KJ are sitting in chairs, and KJ's like, damn, I'm just trying to run another night like last night, you know? Wow, you know? And Kyle's like, oh, fuck no. What? You said fuck no.
Kyle, what? I'm sorry, interrupting. Craig Conover faced conflict with Kyle Cook for partnering with Spritz Society.
Spritz, of course, the Spritz fight.
I'm going to look up Hannah. Okay, go ahead. I'll interrupt you again. Yeah.
Well, Kyle basically says he's not going to stay in. He's going to be home by midnight. And KJ says, I want to be one of those lads this summer, like one of the boys, you know, because they don't catch feelings. And like Wes and Jesse will be out at the club, like 10 girls around them, just like chilling. Like, I wish I could just be like that. Because I know traditionally it's like not usual for a guy my age to think that like being single is a challenge. But for me, it is. Like, shout out to all the lover boys. I'm like, sir, you're not contractually allowed to say that unless you have a deal with lover boy. That is trademark.
Even Kyle's not saying that anymore.
Yeah, seriously.
KJ seems so sweet. I don't know that I believe him yet, because he's a new guy on Summer House. So the jury is still out. I'm buying it so far, though.
He seems adorable.
But his whole, like, right lovely. When I get on TV and now's the time I don't want a relationship. I don't know. But so far, he seems really nice, and I do like him. Yeah. Hannah Berner got in trouble with Kyle because she was doing a Truly ad. So Celsius wasn't even there, guys, but Celsius has seeped into our brains somehow.
Maybe Kyle wants to be bought by Celsius, so he's going to start saying nice things about them. Like, oh, I love Celsius. Let's get Celsius up big so they want to buy Blubber Boy.
Fahrenheit's like,
our drink is only accepted in a few countries. Everyone else wants Celsius.
Celsius thinks they're so standard.
Oh, so KJ is gonna take advantage of Summer. Now we see Wes feeding Kyle a little snackaroony, and Kyle is like, I feel like this is reminiscent of our relationship. What, me feeding you stuff? Or how are you feeling? Or hey, are you okay? Do you feel okay? What's Sierra mean to you too? He's like, no, the only reason I want to address everyone was because I can affect the whole house, and it felt like a bit like there's an elephant in the room, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God, please don't apologize for the apologizing now. It's like every day is not about you, Kyle.
And should I go apologize to the whole group because I apologized yesterday and made it awkward because I owed everybody an apology for the other day?
Yeah. It's like, well, it's like almost like an overcorrection, kind of like when Sierra ripped the sunglasses off my face. And then it was like you're overcorrecting, and then Sierra's like laughing, made you like fucking crash out, bro. And I think that like you made it like by making it like a grand gesture. You're like making it a public apology, and that's like a bigger gesture for a man. I think she just wants it like intimate, and then it's like it's big, so it's like a fucking shitstorm. So it's like a lot, you know. I'm scared.
So I should do it over the speakers, is what you're saying? Hey, I'm gonna do it in the middle of my next DJ set of the Compton Crown.
So now Jesse does like does the dirty dancing lift with Sierra. Sierra runs up to Jesse and he like lifts her up, etc. So Kyle's like, oh, I knew it for Kyle. So Kyle goes and runs up to Carl. And Carl cannot do it. Oh, oh, and they just collapse.
I do not work my upper body.
So Paul. Kyle's like, Amanda, is there any way I could take you to our favorite place? The Apology Dune? Come on, let's go.
And then we see a flashback to Apology Dune. And most of them are Kyle, let's face it. One of them is Maya and Lindsay. And then we see Kyle and Paige and then Jesse and Sierra. But I think a lot of these have been Kyle. They just
Yeah, the editors do... They do a nice job of trying to spread the dune around, but we know that there were more than just three summers, three apologies at this dune. It's been 10 years of apologies at that dune, and almost all of them have been Kyle and Amanda mainly. So Kyle, and they go to Apology Dune, and Kyle's like, all right, right here. So this is usually where I confess my feelings, and I know I tried last night. I know I came out like, oh, some type of justification or excuse, but like I really do think that we need to like work on our communication. She's like, yeah, well, I've asked you questions and I try to check in. And he was like, no, but I want to feel like we're on the same page. Notice how like part of working on communication is that when you respond like that, I just ignore it completely and just keep talking about what I was going to say in the first place. That's good communication right there, Amanda.
Yeah, but like I try to check on you, Kyle. But I want to feel like we're on the same page. Oh God, why did I just say Paige? She was mean to me too.
I want to feel that way too, but I'm not going to do things for you when you're not doing things for me. Like I need you to get your drinking under control, Kyle, and you're fully aware of that.
Well, I only drink when I'm social. So I'm a very social person. So you're mad at me for being social now? What, am I in trouble for being social? Kyle.
That's a problem for me, Kyle. I don't want to babysit you. I don't want people to feel like they have to keep an eye on you. I need to know that, like, my husband's responsible enough to go out on his own and come back.
Yeah, but last night I went out and I was, like, the least fucked up person that was there, I think. Pretty sure.
But the weekend before you weren't, Kyle.
Yeah, but I was in a horrible place. What don't you understand? I told you going into the summer, if we can't literally physically get our shit together, like we literally can't grab the poop out of the toilet physically with our hands, I'm going to have a mental breakdown. And what did I do? I had a mental breakdown.
Okay, here we go. So now it's her fault you drink because you warned her. If you're not nice to me, even though I don't really deserve it, I'm going to have a mental breakdown, which leads to me drinking. Kyle, it's another thing. Right. Oh, you only drink when you're social. Oh, no. Now you drink when you're social and when you're having mental breakdowns. And Amanda's causing you to have a mental breakdown. So you're giving yourself a lot of reasons there. And I hate, you know, I really do believe it's someone's own choice when they call themselves an alcoholic. You know, a lot of people are alcoholics and they're called functioning alcoholics and they get through life fine. So you live your life how you want, but you're involving someone else. And when you have to sit there and make excuses through entire conversations, and then when that excuse doesn't work, come up with another excuse, and then you're blaming the other person for yourself drinking, girl, you're in trouble.
You know, last week I was saying, you know, Amanda, we've always been saying, like, one of her fatal flaws is that it seems like she's always wanted to change somewhat, like change Kyle. And like part of being in a relationship and marrying someone is accepting them for who they are. And I do still believe that. I do also think it's reasonable to ask your partner to not drink as much. I think that is a reasonable ask.
I do, that's too. Not changing, especially that's when not they're out fucking people and making out with people and all over, you know, social media getting caught.
Yeah. It's not changing who Kyle is to cut back on the drinking. There is a way for him to drink and party and be responsible. But I think she's shown him a lot of grace with this whole thing. And like, it's not an overask. It's not, and that does not fall in the category of trying to change who he is or what he likes, or what he wants. I mean, I still do think that like she has for many years been hoping that he will stop being the social person that he is. And that's not who he is. And so I think she will always find a problem with that. Not problem, but she will always... She won't get what she wants from that pursuit, but I do think it's reasonable to ask him to not drink as much because he can still be social and not drink as much. And it's not going very well.
Yeah, it's not like policing somebody for having a couple of drinks, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes somebody gets sober in a relationship and it's like, well, why don't you get sober? I'm sober. And what you're drinking and that's shoving it in my... I mean, that's a different story, you know? But... getting shit faced so bad that you're falling asleep and not coming home till 6 a.m. and not remembering who you make out with and stuff like that, which is all, those are all real Kyle storylines. Yeah, that's when it's bad. So she's like, well, so now mental breakdown's your excuse. So everything I've put off with in the off season too. And he's like, well, you put up with Amanda. She's like, you're drinking and the rumors and the coming home late and don't oh God me.
Well, I only want to talk if we can make progress. So if we can't make progress, you won't tell me where you're upset.
I'm upset about your drinking. All right, so you're not gonna tell me. You're just not gonna tell me. It's your drinking, Kyle.
Okay, just be quiet about it. Then I guess I'm not going to get... Amanda's not going to talk to me about it or whatever.
Apparently, we can't have good communication. So Amanda's like... But she says, you don't like hearing what my issue is. You shut down every time I tell you that my issue is with you drinking and you put a wall up. And she really has kind of just, no pun intended, distilled it down to this. It really is just about drinking for her now. Before it was a lot of stuff. It was like, you don't come this, da, 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 da. Now she's just like, I just want you to stop drinking. At this point, all the other things I don't even care about anymore. I just want you to stop drinking as much. And so he's like, you're so laser focused on this because that's where my anger stems from. And you get upset when I tell you, he goes, Amanda, the second we got engaged, you started saying no to everything. Well, then why did you go through the wedding then?
They shouldn't have. And everybody said it at that time, too, because that time it was the same thing. It's like Kyle. Well, it was also that he was working all the time. But I think the problem with the working all the time was that his work was drinking. His work was going to these lover boy parties and throwing. It was the same thing. He's just added DJing into the mix. So he has another excuse to keep doing it because it's always been him and Carl were going, you know, traveling the country and going to all these parties that they were setting up for lover boy and getting shit faced with the fans. And that was the problem then. So it was like working too much. So then he found another excuse to kind of keep doing it. But it's always been the same thing. And so that is why I think that it is kind of valid to say, like, I mean, you did marry him knowing exactly who he was. And I think all of us do that. I mean, I didn't get married, but, you know, we've all been with people where we're like, you know, this is just, I can change him. You know, this is just temporary. But yeah, you can't. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So he's all upset. And he's like, oh, son, yeah, you just want to talk about my drinking? Like, you don't even ask me. Here's what I have a problem with. Compatibility, chemistry, intimacy. I don't know. Common interest.
Common ground. We're going to common ground.
The time. We're running. We're taking the car. We're running.
And I mean, you know, it's been like days, weeks, months where you don't ask me a single question.
You've been out of town for 6 months. You just said it yourself.
I also hate this, like, you don't ask me a single question. Like, I just can't believe that.
Yeah, she does ask you a single question. When are you going to stop drinking?
When are you home? Where are you?
I don't know. I'm married anymore. I can't even remember. Probably because I'm drinking. Hey, is that what you're coming to talk about? You know what, Amanda? You're driving me to drink. You're driving me to drink.
Oh, so now it's her fault again.
First of all, that's such, like... That's so bad to say that because also like you're in charge of your own things. Also, if someone is driving you to drink, then you have a drinking problem. You're not drinking for the right reasons then. If you're dealing with the stress in your relationship by drinking, then that means you have a bad relationship with alcohol in that moment, sir. So sorry, but that's the truth. And she's just like, I also just love how he's like, oh, like he's sort of make it seem like her complaint about the drinking is just some trivial, easy thing she's just gonna lob out there for the cameras when he's like, I got all these issues, and like, oh, okay, you just want to say it for drinking. I'm like, drinking is not nothing. Like, drinking, like, if it was just drinking, that would be enough for there to be a crisis. If there was a situation going on, it's not like just this, it's not like saying, oh, okay, the issue is that I don't wash the rugs enough. It's like, okay, well, that seems like a petty thing that Amanda's bringing up, but drinking is not a petty issue if it's causing this much strife.
Yeah, but nobody's going to listen to that until they're ready. You can't just tell somebody you're an alcoholic and then they're like, oh, I am an alcoholic. I'm going to change. It's just not how it works. I've never known it to work like that. People don't believe it until they come upon that decision for themselves. And frankly, when he does, that's his storyline and he's not going to give it to her right now. It's like,
I'm not even saying he's an alcoholic. What I'm saying is that like, doesn't sound like he's using alcohol in a healthy way.
No, and I'm saying he's probably an alcoholic, and that's why he's like this. I mean, I don't care. I mean, I think he is because he's got everything he's saying, all the evasiveness and all the freaking out and all the trying to blame it on her and blame it on everything and refusing to talk about it. I mean, that is a serious sign of addiction. And he's not going to be able to do that until he does it. And you can't stay with somebody if you're not willing to deal with it, because they're not going to change. That's just how it is. So yeah. She's got to get out of there.
So while he's saying there's like he has all these issues with her, she's just clarified it down to drinking. She just can keep it really simple and keep it down to one thing. And he's just kind of like, oh, fine. You just want to say it's that. He's basically saying that she's being reductive. And it's like, yeah, but like that's your reductive down to something pretty big. So this is the conversation does not end well. And everyone's watching. By the way, they're all sat like in a semicircle watching Apology Dune. And everyone's watching like, oh God, this is bad. This is going, because, you know, the body language is terrible. Kyle's doing the thing where he's like he's, you know, doing the thing with the hand chop into a palm, you know, and Amanda shaking her head. Kyle's like, you know what? How about maybe get some curiosity, drive, intention, personality, fucking make it about my drinking. Give me a fucking break. I'm like, you're being so shitty to Amanda right now on TV. Ugh,
that's just, oh my God. It's just hard. It's hard to watch. And it's also annoying because it's yet another episode. It's the fourth episode now that is all about them and their stupid fight that they've been having 10 years. You know, Kyle is a drunk. Amanda has always known that Kyle is a drunk. And this is like, what are you doing? Just stop. Enough. And stop making us deal with it every episode. And I feel like the cast feels like that too, because they're just like, oh, Jesus Christ. They're just watching it like, oh God, another fucking, it's the whole season of this, you know? So he's still, now he's yelling at a producer like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm sitting here. I'm being labeled a fucking alcoholic on national television because like somehow that's all our problems, you know? All right, fine. I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to DJ. I mean, what else do you want me to quit? The alcohol. What are you not hearing?
I know. It's like she really has spelled it out so clearly. She says it like over and over and over again.
He just won't hear it. You're drunk. And the problem, the other problem that they're going to get a divorce, so they're not going to get to this problem, is that when he finally says, okay, I'll stop drinking, and then he completely changes, because that's someone that you don't even know. That person, that sober person, you don't even know that person. And you've never even had an argument probably with that person. And from everything they've said on this show, when Kyle is sober during the week, when he was sober during the week, he was very serious and humorless. Remember?
Right.
That was like his whole thing. We talked to him years ago, back when we were first starting, we had him on. And he was like that. He was like, duh. So what do you guys think? And he'd be like, well, he's just a different person. He's very boring. I mean, he's like very like low. I know you shouldn't normal. Say that to somebody, because that's a he's paranoia of people to quit drinking. You know, they're like, well, I don't want to be boring, you know? So I get that that's terrible, but when you're relying on alcohol or drugs or something to give you a personality, it's not real anyway. He's a different person. So you're going to be married to someone that you don't even know, which is like boring, stern Kyle.
He's also in like a double toxic situation. One is the base level toxicity of reality TV, where you do feel the pressure to be really fun and entertaining, et cetera. And then also he is in the pressure cooker of being an entrepreneur, and he's not a tech bro, but I feel like he's tech bro adjacent. He's in this circle of people doing startups and trying to get them going and trying to, you know, sell them. And that's really, really hard. So just like
the third one, aging. Just general, like, aging. Pretty boy aging, you know, where and it's honestly, like, oh, shit, you know, everybody else is married and everybody else is like having kids and I still want to be out partying. And I'm partying with 25-year-olds, like, and 20-year-olds when I go to all these bars across the country. And like, but that's all I want to do. And like, am I aging out? And, you know.
Yeah. So he's basically in a crucible. You know what? Let's just throw in some residual stress from the traders. He probably has that lingering around. They probably got rid of one of his favorite beverages at, you know, Blue Bottle.
Yeah, that's number four. Let's not forget number five. Hannah did ads for Truly. And I'm sure that's still.
Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs seems to actually be doing pretty well. I think he like got out of his stake with that company. Catbird, Cat Dog, whatever it was called.
Bird Dogs. Was it called Bird Dogs? I think it was, where he's like, are you guys sick of wearing underwear? You don't have to anymore, because these kind of have underwear in them, so you could just move your balls around. And then the commercials were him like moving his balls around and be like, yeah, it's better.
Yeah, people forget there was a life before Loverboy on the show. So Wes is watching him and he's like, he's such a fucking baby sometimes, my God, says Wes, who spent all of last season pouting. I was a pout god. And then
I know Wes, who's like, still walking around this season like, am I still grounded?
Tiptoe god. And Carl goes, whoa, looks like Carl's having another hard time again. It's like, you think, Carl? Thanks. Welcome to the beach. So Amanda now starts talking to this producer and she's like, I've done this for years. I've had this conversation every single summer. It's the same shit. Like, why am I even going to do things for you that you ask for when you can't do the one thing I'm asking for? Or why am I going to show you respect when I don't get a return? And then people are like, Levi's like, Sierra, I think she might be crying. You should speak to her. And Sierra's like, well, she's talking to Trish, the producer. So she's like, basically can't go over to Amanda while she's talking to Trish. So they just have to watch Amanda crying over there.
She goes, well, look at that boy. He's so cute. And he's like, where? Where's your cute boy? She goes, I was the bird. I'm talking about the bird. Like, oh. Ben Totter.
Check out this guy.
Ben Totter. It's official. So now the bird Kyle, is like, boop, boop, boop. Man, the producers get them to go talk to each other again. So they come back and say, I'm sorry, Amanda. You know, we've gotten this far and I love you. It just makes me so sad and depressed, which means I need a drink. So blame the situation. She's like, same, Kyle, same. I'm hurt every day. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. I keep telling you what my problem is. And then you ask me what you need from me. He's like, well, you know, I'm just like a social person. So like the second we get married, the second we get engaged, she goes, but I didn't think a social person meant cheating, Kyle.
And there it is. And now it's back. So, I mean, that's the thing. Kyle cheating on Amanda ultimately poisoned this relationship justifiably. And they tried to work through it and everything. But the moment that he's getting wasted and the moment he's staying over at people's places, it's all that hard work comes undone. It's all coming rushing back, and it's just adding more.
Well, the biggest problem there, and he's still doing it. And we knew it when it happened then. I think everybody who, it's not like we're psychic, but I think everybody who was watching knew it back then too. The problem wasn't even that you cheat once and you get caught and then you apologize and you move on. The problem was he cheated and then he said, I don't remember. I didn't cheat. I don't remember. Yeah. That doesn't count. And that's how he got off on that one. And so that's a real problem because he's getting himself constantly in the situation where he doesn't remember. He's like, I'm too wasted. So I didn't remember. So it doesn't count. So yeah. And she's getting all these DMs. And what does he say? I don't remember. I don't remember any of that. She's like, I'm getting DMs like every day, Kyle. Like, what the fuck? Is it every day? I mean, is everybody else's boyfriend having this problem where they're getting DMs every time they go out? I don't think so. Like, something's going on.
And she's like, not even, and she says she's not even bringing up the DMs anymore. So she holds on to that herself, which I can't imagine is very easy. I mean, that's really hard to just be getting DM over DM after DM after DM about how your husband was seen in this place or that place with this girl. And Amanda's like, you know, the producer says, do you think that he's cheated on you? And she goes, I don't know. I'd like to think not, but he has in the past. And I know there've been plenty of rumors about it. So who knows? Only Kyle. And like, you can see she has thrown in the white flag is up. She's thrown in the towel. She's checked out. She's like, you know what? Only Kyle knows. I'm sick of it. Can't even be bothered to even.
I'm breaking up with this relationship. Like, I'm sick of talking about it. It's been like, I feel like I've talked about this for four straight solid hours and I'm just tired of it. It's just, you made bad decisions. Get over it. Now get out. Please get out. Save yourselves. So they apologize to each other and say they still love each other. Blah, blah, blah. KJ falls off his chair. And now they go home. And so now it's 5:29 p.m. Almost Common Ground time. In the mix. So Ben and West are sitting in they're standing by the car. They're not going inside. And they're like, should we get chips, snacks? But they're in the back. Should we get them? I don't know.
I mean, just like
weirdos.
What are you fuckers doing? You're so weird. You're just standing by the car. Are they vampires and need to be invited in? So Ben's like, question. I'm going to be ordering some sushi and I want to know.
Oh my God. Somebody fuck him immediately. What a gentleman.
Oh my God. I hope they have a, I'm so embarrassed and modest role. Oh.
If there's dinner to be had, I'll be in attendance. This is my favorite time of year. I love the summer and Kyle and I need space. You know, I don't want to fight with my husband in front of everyone, you know? And so we just need space from each other basically. So she's going to do something and Kyle's going to go with the other side of the house. And Bailey, Levi, and Amanda are getting ready. And Bailey's like, if I saw a woman wearing this bow on her shirt like I'm wearing right now, would you be like, oh my God, did you see that girl with the giant bow?
And Jesse's like, I mean, that is bigger than your average bow. It's a pretty big bow.
It is. It's huge. It's an enormous, enormous bowl.
It is. It looks like a big cauliflower on the front of her shirt.
They say wear a bra. I said, I'll wear a brassicas. So Sierra then is, the cars come. Sierra goes running through the house to get a sip of a martini and they leave. And then, so the group is in two. Some stay and have sushi. Some go out to have dinner at Calissa, one of our favorite stops, almost as good as Julon. So then other people are getting ready and Bailey is like, is it me and you since we already got ready? Like, I'll just sit on the couch with you right now. Hey, Bailey, let's have a conversation about ourselves, okay? Because of the perfect weather. Do this. You know what? Here's something about me. I will definitely move back to Arizona at some point in my life. Like, if I were to have kids, I'm going to move back there. My number one goal in life is to have a child, move back to Arizona, and turn my hair into red and yellow stripes.
I love ketchup and mustard hair. I'm putting it out there. I love it. It's a great hairstyle.
No one in New York seems to get it, and I just can't wait to be free. I'm moving to Tempe, and I'm getting red and yellow highlights.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, small world. My mom's in Chandler right now. She's like, oh, I love Chandler. I love Chandler, also from Friends. And I also didn't know your mom lived there. That is crazy. And your dad's in Kansas City, right? Tell me about your dad. Do you have trauma? He's like, I do. He's a player. My dad's a player. She's like, because he's in sports? Well, yeah, I mean, he played for the Pirates, but also he's just a player. She's like, oh, so you're saying a double entendre, but also I'm trying to remember what team he played for because that's also important. So let's just get all the bases covered. That's also a sports reference.
She's basically like, yes, America, I'm not an idiot. I understood. His dad actually happened to be a professional player. So I just wanted to ask the questions. I'm not dumb. KJ's like, yeah, like my mom just wasn't going to like deal with that shit. Like, I don't know. Like, I haven't talked to him in probably 5 or 6 years. That's a really long time. Yeah. I mean, like, it was just kind of like a pattern with him because I was always like, I didn't have a dad. I remember being in kindergarten and people being like, where's your dad? And I was like, my mom said I don't have a dad and God's my dad. Like, they really, like, I really said that. And I was crazy. And then he like showed up with a bunch of gifts and I was like, what? And he had a Hummer H1. I was like, who is this? And my mom's like, that's your dad. I was like, whoa.
Jeez, what a way to find out. God. And so the dad doesn't also ever reach out. And when KJ texts, he doesn't text back. Yikes.
Yeah. Also, I felt really old that now our stories of dad abandoned our family now involve an H1. I'm like, wow, that was like that's like 2004, 2005. Like, I'm really old now.
We're older than the dads.
I know. Like, the stories were always like, and then showed up in a station wagon in the Pontiac. You know, I was watching Dukes of Hazzard.
My dad came up on a horse.
Really? I was watching Three's Company and Janet had just slammed a door and then dad showed up and now it's like, and then I had to press pause on the
Betamax,
the Flow Rider or something.
Like, I hadn't seen my Ray dad Jepsen. And then a horse drove up and he gave me a gift of cheesecloth. And I thought, God, who is this person?
I know. I just can't deal. I can't deal with modern flashbacks.
I know. We're so old now that the dads, even if we're talking about the dads, I'd be like, well, you know, he's an asshole, but he's young. So I forgive. You know, you got to find some forgiveness.
I'm so
he's
mad.
Just a baby.
Like, please get rid of the H1s in our traumatic flashbacks. Thank you.
He is talking about how, you know, he doesn't have a dad and how he was around all women growing up. And so he's used to communicating with women and talking about his feelings and stuff. And it's kind of to his detriment because people are like, girls are like, gross. It's like, they don't want that. So he's going to learn to, you know, kind of be a player, I guess, or make an effort to not be like that. He's going to reprogram. Okay. And Bailey's like, oh, I'm someone who wears my heart on my sleeves too, or on my chest when I'm feeling very cauliflowery. And it's hard to like gauge who can handle it and who can't, but there's going to be a woman who's tired of the same old guy and they're going to be really into that part of you. It's not me. I'm sorry, but there will be somebody, I'm sure. Probably not in this house, but somewhere.
I like this pattern that every episode someone has to sit down with KJ and like pours their heart out to him. Because
he pours his heart out to them, right?
Yeah. That's like there's always like a one-on-one with KJ now.
KJ's very in touch with his feelings, and I can see how people are like, because if you're this open with your feelings, and I'm not saying it's bad to be open with your feelings, but maybe I am saying that. Because sometimes, like right in the beginning, I'm like, this is too much. Because, you know, like after the second date, the real tears start coming, you know? I feel like there's a lot of sensitivity there.
Yeah, but I did think it was also funny that she's like, wow, this is amazing. You know what? Someday there will be a girl who will have dealt with so many guys who don't communicate, and she'll meet you and she'll be like, oh, finally a guy who is open with his feelings. I can't wait to put him in the friend zone.
Okay, so, now it is Amanda, Carl, Jesse, and Levi. They're at the dinner cruise. So they go out, and Sierra's like, oh my God, this is like our first Hamptons dinner out.
I'm not yawning. You're yawning. Why is everybody yawning?
Amanda Levi, really can't be out.
Yeah, she's... Unless, I mean, we can't forget that Amanda's a bit of a drip, too. So Levi's like, well... Bailey had to listen to a podcast to sleep sometimes. She's listening to a Buddhist podcast. And Jesse's like, is she Buddhist? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, his mind is blown by that. Actually, my mind is. I would not have pegged Bailey to be a Buddhist, but it's more fun watching Jesse's mind get blown. Because when his mind gets blown, it really shows all over his face. Like his eyes go in different directions. His like that frown sort of sags. He just like looks lost at sea. Like his entire worldview has been reshaped and collapsed in front of him.
Sierra says, oh yeah, I dated a Buddhist once, but he didn't have a couch, so I fucking dumped him. The fuck.
It was like a monk. The monk's like, yeah, I don't know.
How many people just pretend they're Buddhist because they're poor? They're like, I'm really into Buddhism right now. It's like, you just can't afford a couch. Just say you can't afford a couch, okay? You don't need to carry around a little bowl to ding, for Christ's sake.
So,
I'll fuck you on Jesse's, the floor. You don't have to go through this whole rock deodorant bullshit.
Sierra goes, yeah, I would like to find a Christian husband. And Jesse's like, what? She's like, or spiritual. He's like, I believe in God. Oh, I mean, I don't need to marry a Jewish girl. What? Sorry, Jesse, you are no longer in the running to be Sierra's next top husband.
And now at the house, Mia comes down really dressed up for some reason. Because aren't they just staying home, this crew? But she dresses really nice.
No, they're going to go out. I think
they're going out to party. Okay, that's right. So she comes down. She's in a bright yellow thing. And everyone's like, oh, my God, your outfit. And she's like, okay, give me more. Okay, let's play a game, guys. I'm new, and the producers told me to do this. And so I said yes, because I've been here 5 minutes. So let's play a game. You have 2 minutes to ask any questions you want of each other. Now, this is actually a game I liked.
Yeah, very, like, just simple to the point and not, like, you don't have people, like, clutching their pearls performatively to be like, what? When was the last time we got a blowjob in a steakhouse parking lot? So Kyle's like, all right, here we go. I'm ready to start. Okay, Mia, is Scott the one? He is. Will we meet Scott? Well, he's opening a store in Miami, so he's like back and forth. So I hope so, but I think you guys will really like him. Does he think you're the one? He does.
Do you let him go out?
Does he drink too much and you complain about it? I feel like they're trying to get Mia, and she's like not. She's unflappable on this.
Did you immediately stop wanting to go out the second that you married him?
Do you like? Is it like compatibility? Do you ever ask him a single question for the past 6 months? Ever?
Whoops! Time's up. Okay, so Wes, you're next. What are your intentions this summer? He's like, well, last summer Sierra was like really upset with me. And then I was like afraid. And then I didn't want to come off, you know. Hey, you want to make out with her again? What are you trying to say? We only got 2 minutes.
So the alarm basically goes off. And they're like, okay, all right, Kyle, you're up. So, all right, Kyle, what's the thing that terrifies you the most?
Well, my biggest fear would be to not start a family before my parents pass, which is why every night that I could be at home having sex with my wife and having kids, I instead go out and get drunk. All right. Next question, please.
Kyle, what did you and Amanda talk about in the sand?
Well, I tried to apologize and we have all these issues and she just reduced it down to like drinking. And I was like, I mean, I felt kind of paralyzed. And when I'm paralyzed, I drink.
And then we got to the restaurant and Jesse's asking Amanda if think that she's, you know, squashed everything with Kyle. And she's like, no, I just think that he's struggling and he's dealing with things, whether he wants to admit it or not. Basically, I think assuming stress, etc. And Jesse's like, I hate to see you guys like this. I mean, so I really hope that we can get to a better place. And she's like, yeah, I hope so. I mean, last summer I thought we were making so much progress, and it just feels like once summer ends and once there's no cameras around, there's like no evidence or proof. He just goes back to the same old ways because he's not being held accountable by Bravo, essentially, in America.
Yeah. And she's like, why can't you just stay consistent? I mean, he is consistent. Drunk.
He really is.
So then we go back to the house, and now it's Kyle's turn. And so it's still his turn, I guess. So they're like, what do you need to do to make Amanda completely happy? He's like, I mean, change. And I struggle with that because, you know, I am who I am, you know?
Right.
And that's it. We're a drag queen. And who I am needs no excuses. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, I have a question here. Could you see yourself sacrificing some DJ time to spend more time at home? He's like, well, keep in mind, I've only been DJing for a year and we've had issues for a long time. Like, and Wes goes, answer the question. And Bailey's like, yeah, would you sacrifice time for her?
Well, I mean, if it means DJing less.
The alarm goes off.
It's like, oh, thank God.
He's just hedging so badly. He basically saying he's not going to sacrifice time for her.
And I'm sorry to repeat this, but when he's like, yeah, but I've only been DJing for a year and our problems have been this whole time. Yeah, but before you were DJing, you were doing the Loverboy parties where you were still out all night. Yeah. It's the same issue. You're just making it, you're just giving it a new spin, sir.
I think if you love someone, you do make those sacrifices. I mean, everyone knows I love board games. If I had my way, if my dream schedule, I would play board games every single night of the week for hours on end, hours and hours and hours on end. And, you know, but you don't do that, you know, because it's like important to carve out time and to make time for the person that you love. Like, it's important for me to spend time with Dom as well, you know, and like you make sacrifices. Right. And it's not to make Dom sound like he's like a second fiddle of board games. But the point is, you find balance in your life just the way you also find balance for friends. You find, it's like, yes, there's this thing that I do that I love. I have a hobby that I love that brings me so much joy. But it's you. But there are other people who are more important who bring you joy. And you just have to find that. You find the time for them. It can't just be solely about you and the thing and your hobbies. Or you're drinking, or you're DJing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, it's really rough to ask an alcoholic to have balance, is what I'm saying. So then
but he's talking about, yes, of course.
I'm just making a joke.
But in terms of like,
I'm just saying literally. Don't
worry. But in terms of like, cutting back on DJing.
No, I know.
It's like, Kyle, you can cut back. If there's someone that you love in your life, that it's important for you and for them that you spend time with them, then you do it. And it's like a no-brainer. It should be a no-brainer.
Okay. So now it's a commercial break, and now they're going to go out. So Kyle is DJing while they pregame. And God bless you. You do that for a living, but you're pressing play. Please just get something else. So now we go to 12:29 a.m. and Amanda, Jesse, Levi, and Carl are coming home and they're all going to bed. But it's 3:05 a.m. and the rest of them are partying. So they come home all wasted. And Sierra's like, West and Ben, are you making out? Uh-huh. And she shuts the door on them. And then everyone else just makes food. And West is flirting with Sierra now. And she's kind of flirting back. And she tells us, you know, he's like kind of on probation. And I'm like the strictest probation officer of all time, but he got goats. So.
Yeah, it's really good. Really helps. So she's being nice to him. And then Wes and Jesse are in the room. And Wes is like, that was like the best night I've had with Sierra in like 1,000 years. Like, oh my God, that was like so good. And Jesse's like, I love that. Like, you judge the fun of the night based off of how nice Sierra was to you. He's like, yeah. You would feel the same way. It's like, yeah, I'm sure. And then Kyle and Amanda are in bed. So you know they're going to have a lovely and warm conversation. And he's like, hey, I miss you. I hope I can sleep. I think I got some. I got some anxiety, I think.
So she's kind of listening to him this time, right? And so she's like, well, you know, the drinking probably doesn't help your anxiety, Kyle. Because... He's like, well, I didn't even drink that much. Kyle, you just had a fight today about being a drunk and you're coming home drunk. Like, come on, man. So he's like, I don't understand you. I don't know what you want. I can't go over it again. I'm exhausted. So he's like, I don't know how this guy is so complicated. So he's like, okay, let's go to bed then. She's like, okay. And it ends. Good God.
You just fast forward.
Well, it's just them saying the same shit over and over. Like, when is he going to understand? I don't want him to drink. When is she going to understand? I don't know what she wants. Ugh. Yeah.
They go to bed. It's not. We should find. Here's what we should do. We should recap another show when it comes time to discuss their relationship. So instead of discussing why he doesn't realize what he should be doing, we could be like, okay, we'll use this moment to discuss what happened over on Pluribus or something.
Yes, Pluribus.
Oh. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much.
And then Kristen Wiig finally got invited into the country club. We're just talking about Palm Royale.
Everyone, thank you so much for being here. We got some Vanderpump Rules recaps coming up next. And be sure to get your live stream tickets over at watchforcrappins.com. Vote for the crappies also. We'll catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.